David?
Sorry.
Oh, I just said the same thing, so he said, so this is what
he's
going to
see.
Here's
one of the first I saw when I came to the program.
God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference.
Amen.
Okay, the title of this is Came to Identify the Problem. I'm Pat, a food addict and a compulsive overeater, and
Chelsea, I'm a recovered compulsive overeater and alcoholic.
Could you please?
Yes. So is it 15?
15, yes.
Okay, and I'll go like this for 10 minutes.
That'll be great. Oh, you are wonderful.
She's great.
So basically, when I was given this, I asked them, like, what do you want me to say? And they said, listen to what it says, identify the problem. So explain how you identified the problem. So for me, basically, I came into program in 1989. I've had long-term abstinence the last year and 3 weeks. And the thing is that wherever I was in program, I don't look at it as I lost 23 years doing nothing, because every step that I took in this program from the time I came in until now was a lesson. And it's funny, I heard a song by Barbara Streisand, and she says, there's no mistakes, there's only lessons to be learned. And I truly believe that's what it was. I learned a lot of lessons to get me to the point I am today. And for me, I came into the program through my daughter, who was in high school and had had an anxiety attack. And at that time, growing up, I was skinny, always skinny, but very skinny, okay? So for a woman, you know, we've got all the jokes about being flat as a board, carpenter's dream, you know, those kind of things, being laughed at for being too skinny. So I learned to be like one of the boys. You know, if you're with the boys, you don't have to worry about not being taken out by boys, you know, that kind of stuff. And then after my third child, I started to put on weight, and my highest weight was 175. I am now down to 126, so I've lost like 40-something pounds in that time. But more important, I've lost the insanity that I had forever. My first recollection of getting into food was when I was 4 years old and drank a bottle of something you sweeten milk with, and I loved it. Just loved it, loved it, loved it. Seeking in the pantry and doing it. And all the way up, I was not an eater of foods, okay? I was a snack eater. I was a junk eater. You know, my food, my parents never made me eat, so I didn't. And I ate a lot of junk, so of course, growing up, I was very, very thin, but I was constantly on tonics to try to get me to eat because I didn't want to eat. So for my disease, I have one side that doesn't want to eat, and then I have the other side that goes to the other end. And then when I started to get, after my third child, I started to realize that if I was upset, if I was angry, if I was anything, instead of blowing up because I used to be a rageaholic, I would just stuff the food down. And when I had the food, I found it very easy to just mellow out. I always had low self-esteem. Before, I used to take alcohol to do it, but I didn't have to worry about the alcohol when I was with my family. My kids never saw me drink, so when I told them I had an alcohol problem, they thought I was nuts, okay? But if I had to go to any kind of outside thing for my husband's work, anything else, I had to drink because, of course, this Pat wasn't good enough for anybody. And I wasn't going to, like, you know, be there and not fit in. When I gave up the alcohol, it was like this. And I remember someone saying, oh, God took that away. And I went, no, he didn't. And I just stopped. You know, well, yeah, I had 11 white Russians one night, drove home, and didn't know how I got there. I had never done that in my life. So I just stopped drinking. And then I picked up prescription drugs. So that took that over. And then I gave up the prescription drugs. And I had my mother-in-law living with me. I had all the prescription drugs I wanted. You know, so if I got a little anxious, I took a little pill. And that kept me good. And then I went to a food addictions counselor, because when my daughter had the anxiety attack, she went to a counselor, and a counselor came and saw me. We had group, you know, family. And he said, do you think you have an eating disorder? And I looked at him and I said, what? I said, I'm not here, it's my daughter. And he said, yeah, but do you think you have a problem? I said, no, I don't think I have a problem at all. If I want to lose this weight, I could lose it in a heartbeat. And he said, do you think you have a problem? That's all he kept saying to me. And it was like really pissing me off because I was a very educated, very together, could do anything I wanted. And if I wanted to lose the weight and keep it off, that would be no problem. Meanwhile, for 40 years, I didn't keep it off and on and off and on and off and on. And to me, I honestly believed that a diet was something you ate yourself down 10 pounds so that you could eat yourself back up. And when people would say, when I came to the program, they'd say, I have the same clothes for 10 years. I'm like, what? You know, mine ranged from 2 to 16. You know, this is it. It was a closet. Oh, we could take this today. We could take that today, you know. And so I never got the idea of you stop eating, like, permanently, you just eat normally all the time. No, didn't get that one. So I came into program and I went to see an eating disorders counselor, and she had said to me, Pat, do you think, you know, you have a problem with sugar or flour or any of those things? And I said, I don't think I have any problems with that. I never had problems with it before. I don't think I have problems with it now. I don't really have any problems with any of my kids. Blah, 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 blah. And when I was finished, she just went, wow. She said, can you do me a favor and stay off sugar for a week? And I said, no problem, I can do that one. Well, by the end of the week, I think my husband thought I was going to kill him. I mean, really. I mean, it was like I wanted to kill somebody, you know. But I didn't equate it with the food. You know, I just didn't equate it with that. It's just like, well, if I could just have a little something, I would be a little bit calmer, you know. It's just that I'm hungry. You know, like I should know hunger in this country. Believe me, I don't know what hunger is. And then what happened was I started to see her and she said, I think you need to go to OA. And I said, oh no, not OA. I don't have a problem. They're a bunch of psychotherapists and they've got problems with their mothers and my issues. And you know, this is not what I want. So she said, well, then you can't see me. So that was the option. So I went to OA and I sat there and I listened and I kept saying, don't belong here, I don't belong here, I don't relate to any of this, I was skinny, oh, blah, 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 blah. And then I remember I went into a full-blown binge and my counselor had left and I called the counselor who worked with her and I said, I'm really scared and I was crying and then she said, go to a meeting tonight and I'll talk to you tomorrow. And I said, I can't, I'm a wreck. And she said, go to a meeting tonight and I'll talk to you tomorrow. If you don't make the meeting, it means you don't want to go to any lengths. Don't come to see me because I don't have time for you. And I said, oh. So I went to the meeting. I was crying. I explained what hitting bottom was. And I think I scared the hell out of a lot of people. You know, I don't even know how many came back after that one. But then what happened is I started to work the program. And the funny thing is I didn't work the program. I worked the food plan. And that's what I worked for 23 years. The food plan. In 23 years, I never worked the steps. I worked the steps up to 4 and then stopped. Got a different sponsor. Then I would be on a food program and I'd say, well, I think I want to add this because that food print, you know, that's not right. I think I could add this in. And if the sponsor said no, then I found a different sponsor. You know, so basically, if they didn't want to take my food plan, which I sponsored myself for 40 years on, I had no use for them, okay? So then what happened was, I got to the point where I said one day to a friend who had really heavy-duty recovery, and I said, I don't get it. And then she said, what don't you get? And I said, well, I've been coming here for 23 years, and the miracle hasn't happened. I keep sitting here. I listened to everybody, and they said, the miracle will come if you sit down and you're here. I've been here, when's it coming? And then she looked at me and she said, no, you're not listening to what it said. She said, it said you could be a member if you'd like to come here and sit and have a compulsion, you want to give up your compulsion. But there are things you have to do to get the miracle. That means you have to want it, and you need to work some steps. And I went, they didn't say the steps, I don't remember that. And then she said, go back through the reading, Pat. And I trusted this person because I know when I was leading a meeting in the beginning, she was leading a meeting and I was not in recovery. And I left the meeting to go to the bathroom and I bought something and I went in the bathroom to eat it. And all of a sudden, like a bat out of hell, I hear the door push open. Are you in there? Did you buy something while you were in there? And I went, oh, I'm in the toilet. Who's gonna come in the toilet to look for me? And I said, it can't be her, she's leading the meeting. And I opened the door, I said, what are you doing here? And then she said, no, better question, what are you doing here? And I said, I'm going to the bathroom. She said, with your hand behind your back? So then she said, you wanna get rid of that? I said, no, I don't. She said, yes, you do. And then I said, who's leading the meeting? She said, God leads the meeting, don't worry about that. She said, he sent me in here for you. She said, you're more important than what's going on out there. So get your butt back in there. And that's when I knew I needed that person. As scared as I was of her, I knew that's what I needed. And then she said to me, what you're gonna need to do is work the steps. And I said, I don't know how to. And then she said, well, we'll do it together. And we sat down and there were three people and we started working the steps. And I was amazed. I was amazed. I said, oh my God, it's methodical. I said, I really thought. I said, so I'm gonna go through this and then at 12, I'll be done. I said, I'll be recovered. So then she said, yeah, and during that time, you're gonna go back and forth. And I said, no, I'm a linear person. We start here, we end here, it's not a circle. And she said, yes, it's a circle. And then we started going into everything. And I'm telling you, it's been 2 years that I've been working. It was finally up to step 11. And I cannot tell you what those steps have done for me. The steps have made me see that my problem that I identified as food was only a symptom. That was only part of the problem. The biggest problem with me was up here. And I listened to these CDs that are from someone who programmed. And you know, they say you drive your car down every day and you say, I'm not gonna eat today, and you make that turn. And I'm not gonna eat today, and you make that turn. And then all of a sudden, for some reason, you go down and you eat, okay? They did it with alcohol. And I sat there and said, that's the truth. I would have 5 months of abstinence, and then for some ungodly reason, I would want to eat. And I'd say, I'm not going to eat. And I ate. And then I'd beat myself up and say, well, if I ate, I might as well keep eating until I get it all out of my system. Well, I'm a food addict. There is no getting it out of my system. Okay? And then it got more and more, and my mind would get crazy. And then I'd be like looking at my husband saying, you know, you need to be on a diet. You know, you need to go on a diet. You need to get yourself together. You need to, you know, or my son, you know, Sal, why don't you do this? Why don't you? And like everybody else, if I controlled them all, they'd all come together and I would get myself together, okay, because I knew what was best for everybody. And what I learned through those steps is I don't know what's good for anybody. I don't even know what's good for me. God knows what's good for me. God will take care of me. God will do this program. And what was the hardest thing for me is I didn't trust people. And I remember saying to my sponsor, how can I trust something I don't see when I don't even trust things I do see? And then she said to me, well, this God can be the God of your understanding, what you want him to be. And I wrote down what I wanted it to be, because I can't say I'm not a religious person at all. But I am closer to God now than I have ever been in my life. I feel God with me in my car. I feel God with me when I'm angry. I feel God when I'm happy. I feel God in all the places that the food used to be. There's God now. And that God I only learned through the steps, not through my food plan. My food plan taught me how to get physical and clear out my head. But now I had to fill my head with something. You can walk around with a clear head. What do you do with it? You know what I mean? And I had to fill it, and I filled it with God and program. And what I know now is that I have to be in these rooms, and I have to fit life into my program. This is my life. These people are my friends. And it's not at the point of, these are my friends and I can't have outside friends. But everyone in this program teaches me how to act with out there. Before, I was trying to take out there and work it in here. And it doesn't work like that. And now I can honestly say, I love my food program. I love working the Big Book. When I finish with one, I go and work it with somebody else. I love sponsoring. I love going to meetings, which I thought was like, forget about it. And I love even hearing the 12 steps. In the beginning, I used to say, let me get there 15 minutes late. I know those things. I don't need to hear them again, you know? And that's what this probe, this is what the steps have given me. So for me, all I can leave you with is, I identified the problem, and the problem was the food and my mind. And now I know in my heart that my abstinence, when I talk about it, is not my food plan. It's my food plan, it's the steps, it's the meetings, it's the phone, it's all of that. And if I go away to Florida or any place, all of those things have to be on there, and I have to check them off. And I have to do them whether I'm on vacation, whether I'm home, because it's my life. I don't stop brushing my teeth when I go on vacation. Oh, I'm on vacation, I have to brush my teeth, I have to take a shower. Okay? So this is what I've gotten from it, and I hope it's helped you. That's it.
Thank you. I'm Chelsea. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater just for today. And what that means to me, for me today, is that my mind no longer tricks me into thinking it's okay to dig into boxes, bags, buckets, cellophane, you name it. What it means today is that instead of turning to food when I'm restless, irritable, or discontented, I turn to a source greater than myself that can handle the uncomfortability that I'm feeling instead of picking up food. So we identified the problem. I came back into the rooms. I've been in the room since 2004, and the best thinking I could conjure up got me up to 316 pounds and barely could walk, knees killing me, out of breath just to get into the meeting, came reluctantly, and I sat there and I listened, and it was a HAL meeting, and I didn't know what was going on. I just knew that I heard some things that I identified with. People were saying they ate like I did. Oh, okay. On the way home from the meeting, I swung into a fast food place to pick up a couple things to eat because I had been rattled. I had heard some things, so I needed to satiate that with food. That's the only reality I knew. When I was restless, irritable, or discontented, grab a bite to eat. That first bite was great. But by the time I got through with 10 empty bags, 3 or 4 empty boxes, 2 or 3 empty buckets, several fifths in my case, it was still not enough. I was still chasing that first bite. I was still chasing that effect from that first bite. Okay, so I'm in the rooms a lot of years not doing anything but complaining about how this program doesn't work. That's all I was doing. I was using the rooms as a support group. I went there because, A, I'd look around and say, well, this person's not as fat as me, that person's not as fat as me, so I'm still good. I'm not as sick as they are. You know, they're worse than me, so I'm okay. On the way home, stop somewhere, grab a bite to eat, I'm rattled. So this goes on, I drop a few pounds because somebody tells me about a food plan, I follow it. Find those few pounds I lose, plus some, back in the room, crying, raising my hand. Here I am again, like Bill in the Bill story. I'm banging on the bar asking, how did I end up here again? This goes on and on. I don't really have no compelling stories, and I want to tell you about the solution, because what I did really has no bearing. The food itself, the weight and all that, that wasn't my issue. The issue was is that any time I ingested any of the certain kinds of foods or any time I engaged in certain kind of behaviors, I was off to the races. I knew how to stop. I knew how to stop. I knew how to stop eating, but I didn't know how to stay stopped. I could start a gajillion diets. I was expert. I'd gone to weigh and pace. I'd been all over. I guru books, my own little theories, you know, only eating at certain times, and oh, Sunday was going to be the day I would start, and I would only eat fresh vegetables and fruit. Well, somehow the chips and all found their way into that. You know, just creeping up on you. So another thing I would do is I was only going to have organic foods. That was going to be the panacea for this, was organic foods. Okay, fast forward. Not only am I eating the organic foods, but let me just see, I've never tasted that in that organic food. Let me try that too, you know? Didn't matter. So this went on and on, the vicious cycle. I didn't know what was wrong with me. I didn't know the problem. So I will fast forward. I go to a big book meeting, and there are 3 people sitting at a panel. And now I come to call them my Ebbies. Ebbie Thatcher came to see Bill.
and gave him a second part of the solution he needed. I'm sitting there and I'm hearing all this stuff, and in my mind I'm thinking, where am I going to stop on the way home? I'm going to go to the Chinese food store. Might as well stop at Subway because I might get a little peckish later in the day and need a sandwich. You know what? Let me pull in the Popeyes over here because they got some new Popeye popcorn chicken. I need to see what that's. I never had that. I've got to try that, especially if I'm going to have to give up food. I've got to try these things. Okay, so all this is playing out in my head, but these people are sitting there talking. Somebody said, you get to choose your own conception of God. I don't know how it creeped in. And again, the sources that are greater than ourselves are at work, even when we're at play in the food. And then I heard somebody say, you have to go through a process in order to understand where you've been. What the hell? I'm not going to do anything except get out of here and go get something to eat. Well, after the meeting, for some reason, I don't know, and again, the source greater than myself has been doing things for me that I cannot do for myself, unbeknownst to me. I went up and talked to one of the women who I'd seen around the rooms, and she just looked free. She just looked calm. She was still not in a normal body size, but she had a message that seemed to have depth and weight and held my attention. So I spoke with her, and she explained to me that, you know, if you really want to know what's wrong with you, if you really want to know what you've got, if you want to identify the problem, then sit down with me after this meeting and I'll go over the doctor's opinion with you and I'll explain to you what you've got. I said, oh, shit. Sit down to the doctor's opinion, I got a date with a bucket of Extra Crispy. You know what's happening? So I sit down and I say, all right, I can pick up extra since I'm going to devote some time to her. I get something extra, I would have earned it. So fast forward, she takes me to the doctor's opinion and we're reading it and everything. And she reads this to me. She says, men and women drink essentially because they like the effect produced by alcohol, the effect produced by food. The sensation is so elusive that while they admit it is injurious, they cannot, after a time, differentiate the true from the false. To them, their alcoholic life seems the only normal one. They are restless, irritable, and discontented unless they can again experience the sense of ease and comfort which comes at once from taking that first few drinks, that first bite. So we're chasing the dragon from the moment we start. That's our drug. And it doesn't matter what the drug is. That's why food is not the issue. It's the effect you get from it. And if you go on a food plan and you think that's going to save you, you can overeat on your food plan to get the effect you got from that binge food. That's why when you find out that you have an allergy of the body and an obsession of the mind, which tells you that it's okay to keep digging back in that bag and putting it in your mouth. You have an obsession of the mind that tells you, okay, you're getting ready to go on diabetic medicine, but you know what? You can still grab a bite to eat in between because you're not going on that till next week. Dig in the bag, put it in your mouth. Dig in the bag, put it in your mouth. Okay, I put it down. This week, I'm going to definitely follow my food plan. I'm going to do 301. Oh no, I'm going to do this, this, or that. Before you know it, you're banging on the bar asking, how did I end up with all these empty boxes, all these empty bags? And in my case, as a bulimic, I thought I found a way out. I thought I could really cheat the game then. I put in a lot of effort to learning how to do that because that was going to be my silver bullet. Boxes, bags, and buckets all around, and in addition to regurgitating, teeth getting ruined, all manner of things happening. Wasn't enough. It wasn't sufficient enough. The person that worked with me through this process, continued to read with me in the doctor's opinion and tell me that after they have succumbed to that desire again, after you've given in and taken that first bite and thrown your food plan out the window, as so many do, and the phenomenon of craving develops, they pass through the well-known stages of a spree, emerging remorseful, with a firm resolution never to do it again, and this is repeated over and over and over again, and unless this person can experience an entire psychic change, there's very little hope that anything can be done. But there's hope in this book, and this was the paragraph that gave me the hope when we were reading this. It says, on the other hand, and strange as this may seem to those who do not understand, a psychic change has occurred. The very same person who seemed doomed, once it has occurred, the psychic change, who had so many problems, who despaired of ever solving them, suddenly finds themselves easily able to control his desire for alcohol, the only effort necessary being that required he follow a few simple rules, and those are the steps. I couldn't tinker around the edges anymore. This process, when you identify that you have an allergy of the body, you must understand that it's a twofold disease. The main thing you have to understand is the greater part of the disease rests in our mind. It rests in a mind that tells us we can do this, that says it's okay to do this behavior. And the only thing it says that can solve it is a spiritual solution, some kind of psychic change. So I wrestled with that because I'm agnostic. So I didn't want to hear about all this God stuff. I did not want to deal with it. But when I was told that I could decide the God of my understanding, I knew then that I would be able to make a beginning. I knew then that I would be able. I had a malady of the soul, a malady of the spirit. I had tried everything to fix it. I was able at times to fix the one part of my disease, the allergy, but the greater part I was never able to deal with. I was never able to fix, no matter what I did. I was able to lose 50, 60 pounds, but I was able to find 70 or 80. Mm-hmm. I was able to do 90 meetings in 90 days. Day 92, I was eating again, okay? I was able to put it down, but I couldn't keep it down. That was my issue. I couldn't stop once I started, but I couldn't stop from starting again. And they call that a double whammy, that allergy of the body and obsession of the mind. And the only thing that could fix it was the steps. And until I really cracked open this book, walked through this process, I did not ever feel as free as I do now. Not only do I not ingest any of my binge foods, I don't want to. That's mm-hmm. the real miracle of this program. Not that I drove up here on the turnpike and didn't pull into every one of the rest stops so I could pick up a little taste of everything along the way. You know, I had a long drive. You know, I need a sustenance to keep me going. I didn't do that. I didn't want to do that. That's the miracle. Not that you don't do it. But the thing is for me is that I bristled. I didn't want to do the work. I didn't want to do the work. I thought my sponsor could do the work. In fact, I dumped sponsors because I felt as though it wasn't working. Mm-hmm. Yeah. They're human just like me. We're never going to rise above being human. Never. And it's a crushing blow. It was a crushing blow for me to learn that I had been a horrible manager of my life. I had to fire myself. Now, what's that? I mean, you know, that's a tough call. You know, how do you sit yourself down? Yo, Chelsea, you got to go, girl. It ain't working. You're out of here. It ain't working. I had to do that. It was a crushing blow. It's humiliating. It is the death of self. And the way I got started, and I want to give you clarity because it says we identified the problem. The first thing I had to do was to be honest, and I had to take an inventory of my food, just like I do later in the work. I had to get serious. There had to be red light foods, yellow light, and green light, because I didn't know shit. I didn't know what the foods were because I was just so busy shoveling everything in. But once I saw it in black and white, much like our fourth step work, I was able then to sort through. I kept the green light stuff on my fridge and one in my bathroom in the beginning, because for me, leaving the bathroom, going downstairs to the kitchen, by that time, my mind could have worked up a full buffet. So I have to be real careful. I have to keep up. We're easy forgetters. We're easy forgetters. So it's important. That's the importance of repetition. The meetings are great. The sponsors are great. None of that stuff is going to save the day for you. If it had, we wouldn't be sitting in here right now. I've been to hundreds of meetings, given service drunk, given service still eating on the way to the event, on the way from the event. Sneaking out to grab a bite in between, because I had to satisfy that itch. And especially if I had been abstinent for a while, the monkey chatter would come in. So when we identify the problem, that's step one, putting the food down, combing through, cracking open this book, getting started with the step work, identifying what your binge foods are, putting them down, going through this process, and then the result of going through the entire process, no OA waltzing, no step 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3. Go through the whole process. Do what you're told, shut up, sit down, and the result is unbelievable. I am living a life today where I will go and speak about this big book and the solution because it saved my life. I can sit here free. I can sit here a free woman today I can sit here not having the chatter, but I can only do it on a 24-hour basis, and I have to re-up every morning. I have a condition that I must take my medicine daily. And thanks so much for letting me come here.
So now this goes to what time?
This will be going to about 11:20.
Okay, 11:20. So.